Hello and welcome to Conversations with Dog. My name is Susie Gotzi and I am Charlie's loyal mouthpiece. Charlie and I today are welcoming Shannon O'Hara to the show. Shannon is one of the most amazing facilitators in anything basically disembodied. And, you know, most of us would maybe call it ghosts. I mean, Shannon is actually way beyond that. She facilitates people in bodies too, very well, with the tools of Access Consciousness. But she has made her specialty field the ghosts, basically. Or Shannon, how would you actually call what you do?
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Susie and Charlie, for having me today. So my specialty field is called Talk to the Entities, mm-hmm. and it's been a body of work that was created out of pure necessity, as I was one of those kids that talked to dead people. And as so many people on Earth, you know, so many kids do. And I was really fortunate in having Gary Douglas, who's the founder and creator of Access, as my stepfather. And he was able to sort of coach me and empower me over the years to actually open up to my awareness of the spirit world and learn how to manage it and work with it in a way that became very empowering for me. And in so doing, creating a lot more pathways and possibilities for all the people that choose to learn the curriculum of Talk to the Entities.
Which is just so amazing because so many of us as people are perceiving these disembodied beings and we don't even know that we are doing it.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, I say I was just writing some text for Talk to the Entities yesterday and I said, you know, the spirit world is all around and everyone has the ability to be aware. How have you learned how to deal with it kind of a thing?
Exactly. And most of us haven't learned to deal with it at all. And it's interesting, too, because what I have seen with working with animals, there seem to be some similar things that might be going on for them, because I have literally met entities. Yes, I have met entities.
So have I.
I have met animals that actually are not sure how to deal with entities. You know, like especially horses, I have seen horses that get really quite discombobulated when they are perceiving that energy when they're out on a ride. And so this was actually one of my questions to you as well. Like, how can we let people have more ease with these encounters where, you know, people say, oh, my horse just saw a dragon in the ditch. Well, they are laughing about that.
But what if it really did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and you know, I've had the incredible pleasure of eyewitnessing, you know, it's like, so, you know, Gary Douglas, the founder of Access has facilitated the Conscious Horse, Conscious Rider classes and clinics over the years. And I remember at some points watching him working with some horses that were just crazy horses that people had long ago given up on and couldn't, and people were scared of these horses. Mm-hmm. And he would work with them for about 5 minutes and then he'd go, oh, and he'd clear some entities. And it was entities of weird animals that didn't belong in horse bodies and mm-hmm. animals that had died by being hunted that were freaked out, that were attached to these horses. And as soon as he cleared the entities, which is, you know, the basic entity clearings of Access, which are some of the easiest, fastest, if not the easiest and the fastest ways to handle entities on Earth. Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and make that declaration. You know, if there's something faster and greater out there, I'd love to learn it. You know, after he clears these entities, the horse stops. Mm-hmm. And is present, and the body of it even changes, and the whole being changes, and the horse becomes present. And this is very dynamically reflected in animals' behavior, but it's also in people's behavior, because mm-hmm. people can get freaked out and have entities attached to them too, and really go through years and years and years of therapy, right, and never achieve the change when it simply could take you a 30-second entity clearing. And it's like, you know, I remember years ago, now those of you guys that are listening to this, we'll give you a little behind the scenes. It's like Susie and I have known each other for years and years and years. And I remember years ago being at your house in Santa Barbara and watching your cat Bubba, mm-hmm. you know, walk through a dimly lit living room. You know, I was in one room and I watched Bubba walk through the living room and watched literally shadows. Bubba was pulling shadows out of the corners of the room. And that was the first time I actually saw a cat facilitate and clear entities. And there are a lot of legends and mythologies about cats being mediums and so on from ancient Egypt, and we hear all the stories about the witches and the black cats and stuff, and it's like, that stuff actually isn't folklore, it's actually stuff that is possible. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen, you know, with you, working with you and working with Gary, it's like, because you and Gary are really the animal people in my life, you know, I've seen so much interconnectedness between animals, how animals behave, animals' abilities with entities, right? Because like some animals, like your cat was a medium, yeah. You know, and that was the first time I saw it. And I was like, oh, okay, wow.
Uh-huh.
So it, you know, I'm a big fan of being aware, and I'm a big fan of facilitating change on Earth. So it's like the entity stuff, as weird as it is for so many people, because it is a strange topic, you know, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, as weird as it is for so many people, it is my point of view that it is extremely relevant to have this conversation. Because I know the change it can create in the world and the ease it can create in the world. And once we bring the conversation of the impact that entities have on us into the light, the transformation that becomes available, not just for people, but for the whole animal kingdom, is immeasurable.
Yeah. And yes, and thank you so much. It is definitely one of those topics that a lot of people push aside, yet... Like you said, like I have worked with people too that had these freaked out animals and we clear some entities and it changes. And so all of a sudden people are like, wow, that's quite amazing.
Well, and the other thing is, and you know, it was interesting. Susie told me that when we were going to do this radio interview that, you know, Charlie's the host.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, what? And as now as we're doing the show, I'm like, oh, wow. And I'm receiving Charlie as you would an entity, you know.
Yes.
And I'm receiving Charlie, and he's basically communicating to me that, like, animals are so aware of entities.
Mm-hmm.
And people are also so aware of entities, but people have devised this way of shutting off their awareness in ways that animals can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, what is it that the animals can teach us about awareness?
Yeah. And that's actually, it's funny that you say that, because literally just right before you were mentioning that, I was asking Charlie a question, and I said, how do you perceive entities? And basically, what did come through right away was like, it is real, it's there, it's present, it's not anything woo-woo, it's just there. And so my next question actually is also about, you know, why is it so difficult for some animals actually to... deal with that? Is it because we as people are not really acknowledging the presence of it, and so animals feel like they have to alert us to it? Because I have met cats that are not facilitating all that with ease, but that are really constantly like, you know, around basically.
Right, you've got like the cats that like meow and hiss at nothing all the time.
All the time, exactly. And they won't stop, you know, and people are like, why is my cat doing that? Well, I can most likely explain to you why, but what makes it easy for a cat like Baba to walk through a room and be a facilitator and another animal be like, well, not comfortable with all that.
Yeah, I would say it's probably two part. Although I will admit that my specialty is more with ghosts than with animals.
Mm-hmm.
So I am much more fluent and effective with ghosts. But what I do know of animals, and in this question, would be something along the lines of like, I would say that it has a lot. I think that it would probably relate to a lot like how people are. Animals probably come in with memories of other lifetimes and patterning from other lifetimes and commitments from other lifetimes and memories from other lifetimes. And so I'm wondering if a lot of when you have, for example, a cat, right, that's cuckoo, if that cat came in cuckoo, right, from having lifetimes of weird stuff, just like people do, right? So it's acting out stuff from other lifetimes. But also I think that the animals are extremely aware of their owners and tend to act out a lot of the owner's repressions or subtle subconscious stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I would say, and it's like, we, you know, it's like, I know that we've said a lot. It's like that I know that in Talk to the Animals, you communicate this as a tool as well. And I would say, I say the same thing in Talk to the Entities, except about entities, that the animals and the entities are never the problem. It's the people that are creating the problems. Mm-hmm. And it's very true in that. It's like, I'm not surprised that your cat Bubba was so effectively facilitating entities, because you are a very empowering pet owner. You know?
Thank you.
As my children would be extremely empowered entity facilitators.
Yeah.
It's something I know a lot about. Being around me facilitates the awareness in this area. Your animals tend to be uber conscious animals. Because you believe in their consciousness.
Yeah.
Not only do you believe in it, but you empower it within them.
Yeah. Well, and it is actually interesting talking about that, because when Charlie demanded to be the host of this radio show in January, I got really excited, you
wow.
know, and
yeah.
and it is funny, because he is so present, and everybody I've had on the show so far can perceive his presence,
yeah.
even if he's not here, because right now we are in New Zealand, but
right.
it really doesn't matter, and he is present, and I do actually want to give him also a voice of asking questions if he wishes to do that or facilitate something else that might be going on in this whole conversation that is through his eyes, because I've seen also like so many things where I already have a conclusion about, oh, this is how it is. You know, he always blows my mind in terms of like how animals are perceiving it. Like there's usually a twist to it that I wasn't aware of. And so this show has been very educational for me personally too, because Charlie has gifted so many other awarenesses that really, just really kind of mind boggling. I wanted to actually also, we do have a live audience here, and I want to make sure that if anybody has questions that they could ask them as well. But let's just see if Charlie actually has something he would like to contribute to this conversation, or if he has something as a question that might be coming through here. And I guess it is sort of that sense of it's like this demand of people, you know, you have to get this.
I was definitely
like,
perceiving that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's like, people, wake up. You know, this is not something to
fiddle
forget
around.
About.
Yeah,
it's like you have to be willing to be present with it. It is real. It's here. It is actually a contribution to our lives. It can also be explaining a lot of things, like you were saying, like an animal quote-unquote misbehaving. Like, we have to be willing to have that as part of our toolkit, of our repertoire, of our awareness, really.
You mean the entity stuff?
Yeah. Like, being willing to be aware of disembodied beings, basically energies that are around us.
It's really interesting what I'm picking up from Charlie too, because at first it wasn't all that comfortable for me to perceive it, because it's my sense of what he's expressing is quite an urgent desperation
mm-hmm.
for the plea for awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that that's coming up in an entity conversation. And what, you know, a lot of what we talk about and talk to the entities is entities and the kingdom of entities. And there is a kingdom of entities, meaning what exists within that is very far-reaching and vastly changing. And not all entities are created equal, just like not all animals are created equal.
Yes.
And there is a lot of conversation about the spirits of the earth that we do, that we have to do, because that's part of the kingdom of entities,
mm-hmm.
And recognizing the spirits of the earth that we in folklore would have called fairies or, you know, sprites. And these are the beings that work with us and that actually are required to strengthen the earth's immune system and create the vital, robust, magical world and earth that we all live upon.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie knows that.
Yes.
And I think Charlie also knows the condition of what we're facing if we don't change our consciousness
yes.
on Earth.
Yes. Thank you for putting that so eloquently, because I did perceive the urgency of what he was saying, and so much more depth of all that.
Can we do something?
Yes, let's do something.
Let's do this. So let's connect with all of the animals of the earth that know the urgency of change, not through their points of view or their judgments or their projections, but through their communion and caring for the earth, and ask for what they know about changing the future of consciousness on earth. And allow that to be honored and heard. And then allowing the spirits of nature that play with all of the animals of the earth and all of the bodies of earth to play with us for the creation of a conscious future. And everything that doesn't allow it, let's destroy and uncreate it.
Yeah.
Right, wrong, good, battle, nine, pud, pack, shorts, boys, meons. Because it's so interesting, we're not generally raised to be sensitive to the voices of the spirits or the voices of the animals.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught that, you know, our feelings are superior and our sentient thought is what creates and what is most dominating on earth. What if that's not true?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's the voices of the gentle beings of our planet that will control the destiny of our earth? And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, don't realize that if we don't honor the earth and all of the beings of the earth, the animals, the spirits, and I'm including us as the animals as well, our bodies are dependent on the earth's health. Without the earth, we don't have bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Without bodies, the earth is going to be just fine. So what are we going to do with this amazing place? And in truth, the earth, when I'm talking about the earth, that includes the animals of the earth. Without the animals of the earth, will the earth be well? And so what if we actually started to bring the animal kingdom into the authority of the planet, as older cultures did? And I'm not saying older cultures were right, but older cultures or more native cultures looked to the animals as an awareness of what the future was bringing, as an awareness of what they needed to do culturally to honor the earth. They understood that if they over-farmed a particular place or over-cultivated a particular place, that it would throw the balance out,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's what we're experiencing now on earth is an imbalance of the earth's energies, which to me makes a lot of sense, but then again I talk to ghosts.
Absolutely true. On this note, we'll take a little break and we'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
And we're back with Shannon O'Hara, the founder and master facilitator of Talk to the Entities, and this really amazing conversation about really the future of the planet is where it's gone. And for me personally, too, this is one of the things that is really dear to my heart, is to be willing to actually recognize the contribution and also beyond the contribution of what animals are on this planet, really. And you said it really well, as like they are sort of a driving force of this entire planet's future. And for us to ignore them and push them aside as if they were meaningless or didn't know anything is a very interesting piece. And what I have found too is, because I studied a lot of the, you know, there's books out, one that comes to mind is Animals Speak, where like native cultures have given their points of views about what animals mean. And when we have animal encounters, what does it mean? If we meet an eagle on our walks, what does that mean? Mm. You know, and I've always like read this and I was always a bit confused because it never really sat completely with me. And what I recognize now in being more willing to receive from the animals is that they have so much more to offer than trying to define what this one animal can actually gift us. You know, it's way beyond what is written up, and it's also way more in depth. Like, you know, here's even a dog, like a dog. Okay, you'd say like, oh, well, he's just a dog. And yet he blows me away with the contribution he has about things. Mm. And so what if we were willing to actually be more in tune with all of the information that is available and however it shows up, but just not cutting it off by deciding, oh, this is an eagle and so an eagle is going to give me this information.
Right.
Or an owl is going to give me this information. Mm. Or a whale is like, what if it was really beyond all of that? And so opening us up to receiving a lot more.
What would it take to receive everything that's speaking to us?
Yeah.
Yeah, and also in the saying of that, like, it's, I think that, like, what you're saying, it's like to really take that to heart, not as a theory of, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we could, like, listen to the animals, but as a reality of, okay, so it's like, what if each and every one of us actually does have naturally the capacity to be aware of what is being communicated to us through the animals, through the earth, through consciousness, and receive what that is beyond our definitions of reality. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a significant thing, because I moved to Australia last year, and, you know, of course, the animal kingdom of Australia is completely unique. Mm-hmm. And the house that we live in, we would get these huge black cockatoos that would come. And at first, one morning, I'm laying in bed and I hear this noise and I'm like, is that a typewriter? And it just sounded like the weirdest, like someone typing, and then like an old typewriter pushing the bobbin back. And I'm like, what is that noise? And my husband's like, I think that's a cockatoo. And I'm like, that's a bird? And finally, I found the bird, right, in the tree, and I'm looking at it, and it's huge. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because I'm laying there, and as I'm listening to this, it won't stop. And I'm going, is there something I'm supposed to hear here? So I start perceiving it, and I'm like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And I'm thinking, oh, significant. Like, what's it telling me about my life, you know? And finally, I go, what is... And I asked my husband, I was like, well, what do the Aboriginals say about the cockatoos? And he's like, well, I think sometimes they're like, because my husband's from Australia, and so he knows, you know, a little bit more about this stuff than I do. And he goes, I think that they like are always like doing that call when rain's coming. And I'm like, oh, no, it must be more significant than that. But then that afternoon, the rain came. And I went, oh, wow, okay, so animals are going to tell us a lot about the weather and nature and like what's coming. And then, you know, it's like, it could be that simple.
Yeah.
Right? And then sometimes, what if it's deeper than that?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And that is actually a great point, because when the tsunami was coming through Indonesia, there are some islands where actually a lot of native people are still living, and they all survived the tsunami because, actually not because they knew it was coming, but they followed the animals.
And the animals were like, oh, bye-bye!
Yeah, and so they became aware of it because of the animals, which, you know, so we don't have to know everything, but what if we were willing to... Well, we do know everything, but what if we were actually willing to use the information we're receiving from everywhere and really become aware of that and not override it by saying like, oh, I'll be fine, you know, oh yeah, all the animals are climbing the trees, I'll be fine, you know, which is sort of oftentimes our point of view, like, oh, I know better, and I'm okay.
I know,
and
it's, I gotta say, the animals probably sometimes do know better.
Yeah.
Thank goodness they're here with us.
Exactly.
Could you imagine a world without the beautiful beasts of the earth?
I cannot. And it's, yeah, to me, that would be, yeah.
Not a fun earth.
No.
You know?
No. So, yes.
could we do some questions around, you know, it's like, I've watched myself say this a couple times in the last few months about how all of the big beasts of the earth are becoming extinct.
Mm-hmm.
And it is true. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And it it sometimes brings a lot of sadness into my world. And then I look at, okay, so it's like, what's right about this? And what consciousness did the big animals of the planet have? You know, the big cats, the gorillas. What consciousness, what energies are they that we can bring to the earth, even if we don't have big cat bodies or big gorilla bodies? Mm-hmm. It's like, can the jungles and the forests and the deep rivers of the earth, will they survive without the animals that inhabit them? You know, and science is now showing us that no, it's like forests can't actually live without the ecosystem of the beasts that inhabit them. Mm-hmm. And so instead of mourning the loss of these big beasts, what if we could be the energy that created what those big beasts know on Earth?
Mm-hmm. Well, and even with what you're saying, Shannon, the thing that sort of comes up is, what if we... if we were embodying this, is that actually also the possibility for changing that as a reality? If we were truly willing to embody their knowing and their energy, could we then actually also give a different sense about, hey, this has to change? You know, where it's so interesting, like the whole notion of saving the earth has been something that I've been looking at my whole life. You know, as a kid, I was out, like, I wanted to save the earth, you know, and my idea was, let's kill all the people. that will definitely do the trick, you know, and I included myself in that, and that wasn't my wisest decision that I made as a kid, but in a sense, it's like, what if saving the earth looks completely different than what we are currently practicing? And I have been looking at this, like, what else is possible? What else is possible? But when you just said that, my sense was like, yeah, this can actually contribute to creating a different energy on the planet that will get more people aware of what else is possible. So, yeah, what else is possible?
So truly? what if it's not about saving the earth?
Right.
But being present with the change of the earth.
Yeah.
And we're obviously in a very changed time. It's an interesting time to be alive on the planet.
Yep.
And it could be, you know, you could look at it as an interesting time of great devastation, or you could look at it as an interesting time of great possibility. And for me, I'm less interested in saving the earth and more interested in never losing sight of the magic of the consciousness that's here with us on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what would it take to have the power and to know the spirit of the gorilla, to be able to access their vision of the world and be part of that spectrum of possibility. And as I'm saying this, it's like, look, this could sound woo-woo, this could sound metaphysical, this could sound a fairy tale.
Right.
But I'm sorry, what world do you want to live in?
Yeah.
You want to live in this reality, or you want to live in the fairy tale that you've always known was true, you just maybe never had the courage to choose?
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes a matter of, like, what do you know that you've been pretending not to know and denying that you know? And when exactly are you going to allow yourself to know it? Now or after you're dead?
Right.
Because after you're dead, I'll still talk to your dumb ass.
So true. So, okay, let's see if... So is there something else that Charlie would like to... bring into this conversation that we haven't touched? Or it's interesting because when we were talking earlier, I could really perceive him being quite pleased with our conversation, and I felt him actually even relax and sort of roll into like a little ball and be sort of like, ah, thank you. And so I'm grateful for that feedback as well. And, you know, it's interesting. So I guess actually he's sort of more wondering, is there anybody here in the audience that has something that they would like to ask or contribute to this conversation? And if you do, please either holler or come close to the recorder.
Yes, first, thank you to all of you for giving us this chance and an awesome contribution. We are talking about the cats. I've got two cats, and they Well, one is the mother, Chochi. She maybe a year now would start talking, and she talks so loud, and she walks around, and she picks up these little toys and she or socks or whatever she finds, and she moves them. I've been asking her a lot of questions, and I have cleared some entities that they're not rewarding for her body, for example. And Fluffy is her son who does similar thing. So what can I actually contribute to them with questions, and what is it there that I don't get?
So what are they contributing with the actions that they are doing for you and your household that you haven't acknowledged? So we often go into this place of trying to explain a behavior through our eyes and through our experience as people in these bodies. What if you were willing to actually look through their eyes and see what is it actually that they are contributing, or
what are they aware of?
Yeah, or aware of that you haven't been willing to actually perceive as a possibility, because it can often be so different than what we've already decided this behavior is.
Initially, when she starts, you know, holding little toys and basically anything that she can get her teeth into, I was asking, so you miss a baby, you know, like you're missing the babies when you were.
Is that your
once,
point of view?
Yes,
though?
That's what I was going to say. That yeah. Is it my point of view, or is something else? Because when I've asked her, and she's still continuing doing that, so obviously it's something that they're not getting. And the other thing is, I do give her jobs when we go to work, and they by themselves, and I say, you know, you look after the house. And
yes, but so if you were really, truly willing to look through their eyes, what is the very first thing that you would have to acknowledge, receive, be aware of?
Entities.
Are you acknowledging your awareness of entities?
I have more now than ever before. I've done Shannon's classes, and I'm grateful for that. Before I was a bit really, you know, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe there's more.
Than okay. I'm not and worried. So what if it wasn't also a problem? What is there actually sort of a lightness in what they are showing you that you haven't been willing to acknowledge, and a playfulness?
Yes, the only thing is when it's 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and you know they.
Who's trying to talk to you at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, someone that I'm not willing to.
Yeah.
Relative or not relative?
Relative.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they talk through the cat.
Yes.
Through church.
Because you're too dense to get through to.
Okay, thank you.
So this is and thank you so much for asking that. Because this is a beautiful example, I think, of how the animals can be a expression of what we're not necessarily willing to be aware of. Mm-hmm. And so many times it can have so much to do with entities,
yeah.
Which again is an area that a lot of people don't desire to be really aware in. And it's like, so cool. So it's like through your cat, it's like, okay, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Good. So what if it's not your cat that's misbehaving? What if it's your cat that's trying to get your attention to bring you to the awareness of the beings that are there that are desiring to communicate with you? You know, and just a bit on the entity stuff, it's like a lot of people have night visitations because that is the time that they can get through to you because your mind is the most relaxed. Mm-hmm. They're there all the time talking to you. They just can't get through your barriers until you go to sleep. Which is, I say, never a good way to handle entities. It should always be done in the light of day with total awareness and presence. But whatever you do, don't choose that. Because it might change your world.
And again, also how willing are animals to facilitate us in that moment of just being willing to actually have another being show them, tell them, like, hey, can you wake her up, you know? And And it's like the animals go, oh, sure, I can do that. Like, you know, ding-a-ling-a-ling, whatever it is.
So what if in this particular case, what if, like, she thanked her cat for giving her the awareness, right? Instead of keep projecting at the cat, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know, and how much are we treated like that as children, where we're expressing awareness to our parents or to whomever, and they don't want to hear it or have it, so they basically indicate that there's a problem with our awareness.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what then we then perpetrate on the world and onto our poor pets.
Wow. Yeah.
So what if you thanked your cat for providing you with that awareness and told her she didn't need to take on the responsibility of accessing your awareness, that you could now take on the responsibility of accessing your awareness and see if that doesn't change her behavior?
I just did. Thank you.
And sometimes even to go beyond that, sometimes entities are not always, you know,
pleasant
beings, and they can use our animals sometimes also to play tricks on us and to basically wreak havoc on our situation at home. And so, you know, sometimes I also say to the animal, hey, you only listen to me, or you only listen to, you know, whoever is in the family talking to you, but not to the beings that are coming from the outside or whoever, you know, but like the beings that are not here in these bodies, basically. And it's interesting because the animals do get that, and they are willing to then go, okay, I don't have to listen to the command of this other being anymore, and it can really change. So you can really just tell your animal that sort of thing as well.
And I think it's important to also mention, though, that that sort of conversation needs to be accompanied by the not overall broad sweeping judgment that most people do, that all entities are bad.
Right.
So you have to be honest with yourself, good luck, about the kind of entity you're dealing with. And that's obviously, that's a big thing to ask of somebody, but everyone is perfectly capable of such things.
Yes.
So it's about, number one, being aware of the beings that you're dealing with. Like, for example, I asked this woman about relative or non-relative to help her identify the being that's trying to get her attention.
Yeah.
It's a relative. This isn't a mischievous demon. This is a being that's someone she knows.
Yeah.
So just to recognize, yes, there can be mischievous demons, and there can also be other beings that are worthwhile talking to.
Absolutely. And with that, we'll take just a quick break and we'll be right back.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
And we are back, and thank you so much, Shannon, for being here, and thank you all for being here, too. We do have a live audience here, which is quite unusual for these radio shows. This is a pre-recorded show, of course. By this time, you should have noticed that. But we are here with a live audience in New Zealand, and it is really fun to have like the energetic input of all the bodies that are here with beings, most of them. So we are having this conversation that is sort of in that realm of woo woo wow, and you know,
woo woo wow,
exactly. And yet, so we all, like you said, Shannon, we all have the capacity to have it and be it. Can we actually give a tool to whoever's listening on being more willing to receive those energies, being more willing to open up to that awareness? Like, what tool do you give people about perceiving these energies with more ease?
You mean entities?
Yeah.
Well, the first question has to always be, what am I aware of? Because we spend so much time saying, I don't know, that it literally shuts down our capacities to know. And so in the beginning, when I was reaccessing, I will say, because as a child, I was uber aware. And then as a teen, I did everything in my power to stop being aware of the spirit world. And in my early 20s, this became crippling. And I either had to die or open up to my awareness. And I'm saying that in all honesty, and that is what so many people face on Earth, is that there are so many people that would rather die than be aware. And there are so many people that don't know what to do with everything that they're aware of. And that's what I love so much about this conversation. That's what I love so much about Access Consciousness, is that it provides the education and support for people who do desire awareness to actually learn what the heck awareness is. And so with entities, since it is such a taboo area, it has to be, number one, recognizing the potency that talking to entities is, and the gift that it can be. And it can be a tremendous gift. It can be a tremendous pain in the ass, but it can also be a tremendous gift. And so you have to, first question is, what do I know? What do I know? So, for example, with the question that we had from the audience about my cats doing all this weird behavior, and then we had the conversation about, okay, so who's trying to communicate with you? Question, who's trying to communicate with you? And then what I would keep giving as support along that is, when you feel like you have no idea what you're dealing with, when it seems overwhelming, when you're having all your weird barriers come up and all your weird memories of all the lifetimes that entities were a bad idea and all the religions that told you that entities were a bad idea, you've got to destroy and uncreate all that stuff, right? Use the access processing, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, bud, puck, shirts, boys, and meons. Got to tell you, it's a powerful tool. It's a lot easier with it than without it. So it's like, will you all revoke, recant, rescind, renounce, denounce, destroy, and create all your commitments, oaths, vows, fealties, humility, swearings, binding and bonding contracts to whomever and whatever that makes being aware of entities difficult, hard, impossible, and confusing? Yes. Right? Yes. Good and bad, all nine, pod, pock, shirts, boys, and beyonds. And remember all the lifetimes that you were clear on this, and everything that was projected at you, expected of you, cursed, condemned, and vilified about you for being a spirit. Will you revoke, recant, rescind, renounce, denounce, destroy, and create all that? Yes. Right and wrong, good and bad, all nine, pud, puck, shirts, boys, and girls. And so, obviously, on the topic of entities, what the whole Talk to Entities beginning is about, is getting you out of the poo-poo that you've been functioning from in this area so that you can begin to be present with what can be for you.
Yeah.
And so, I think the best tool up front is, what do I know?
And then, can we actually include the animals in this clearing? Like, all the animals that are listening and are being present right now that have also been vilified for their abilities.
With entities,
like you were mentioning, the cats that are doing it with ease, but really, and now in this lifetime maybe have decided they don't want anything to do with these things anymore either. So all of you animals that are listening, everywhere you have been vilified, killed, maimed, destroyed for what you know about entities.
And used and abused
for all that you know about entities, will you now please revoke, recant, rescind, reclaim, and renounce, denounce, destroy, and uncreate all of that times a godzillion, right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. Okay, there's been apparently a bit of that as well on this planet.
Interesting.
So, cool. We did have some more questions, so I don't want to exclude them. So, yeah, go ahead.
It's not so much a question, it's just an acknowledgement to both of you. I've just had a really cool light bulb moment. I woke up this morning with the two words in my head of microcosm and macrocosm. And what Shannon was talking about earlier is I haven't been willing to include everything, like all the animals, so the jungle animals, the insects. Like when I think of animals, I think about horses and dogs and cats. I don't
domestic animals.
Yeah, I didn't. Oh, I'm like, oh my god, yeah, of course. But also the divas and the fairies and everything else. So I just wanted to acknowledge that I've just had that awareness of wow, how microcosmic have I been keeping my awareness when there's so much within the animal kingdom and the entity kingdom that actually wish to contribute to expanding consciousness. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. So we had another question too.
Hello. Gosh,
as soon as I came in and y'all started talking and I perceived Charlie and then my dog showed up and I was like, oh, hi, okay. So there are a few things that I wanted to ask, I guess, about him. And when you were having the conversation about the cat in the middle of the night, I got this picture of my dog used to, like, I'd open my eyes at night and he was literally, like, hovering over me. He was just leaning over me. And I could, what I was looking at was, like, that he was protecting me or that he was keeping an eye on me. And there were times where I'd see him at the end of the bed and he was just, like, watching the room. So I don't know. What was that? Well, does an infinite being need protection?
Well, do you really not know?
No.
So what do you know? And it's like, you say an infinite being doesn't require protection. And what is a dog's point of view? We have to be willing to actually recognize animals have points of views about what their job is inherently. So not just what the jobs are we giving them, but dogs inherently are our protectors. That is sort of the number one job they have all taken on. And so, you know, how much of that is actually true? And what was he aware of that you were not being willing to be aware of in that moment?
Totally. It was a few years ago. So I mean, I had a lot of night activity and visitations because at the time I wasn't willing to be aware of what I was aware of.
So how cool is that too, that again the animals are so willing to facilitate us in also being protected or
waking the fuck up,
or waking up, you know, and by staring at, you know, Patty, and at the same time also being willing to sort of go, hey, I'm here, you know, there's nothing for you to be worried about because I'm here with you. So like the physical presence of your animal just being like, hey, there is something else here to this whole conversation and I'm here.
Oh, and I'm recalling now after that, I started actually waking up in the middle of the night doing like the demon clearings and stuff. And he stopped hovering over me. He was still there, but he wasn't like on top of me.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah. And then I did, cause I've chosen to move my closet and to sort of be a gypsy around the world. And I had started asking my dog, you know, well, who do you want to live with and where do you want to go? And cause it just was not going to be possible for me to bring him with me. And my ex just loves guilt. And like he's always projecting onto me how much my dog misses me and how I need to give him love and how I'm still his mama. And so he's like pulling on me in that way. And I don't know. I just want to make sure that my dog's okay. I mean, I can perceive him and I get that he's fine and happy and I do flow energy at him and I do stay connected and he comes in my dreams. And I'm wondering if there's anything else I could do just to, you know, make sure he's okay, or, you know.
Maybe you mean, like, is there something else you need to say to your ex, possibly?
You think?
it's interesting how often we use animals, too, as a manipulation and to kind of get something that we are deciding that we want from a person. And so, truth, is your dog happy and okay?
Yeah.
So,
I can interrupt for a second. I remember at one point years ago, I don't know if this was years ago. When was this? Anyways, you had mentioned, because you have traveled a lot, and you have always had animals at home.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I think it was about Bubba, but it might have been about Charlie, about you being away a lot and expressing the same thing, as my animal okay? What do I... And I remember at one point you talked about leaving your energy with them.
Yeah. Mm. And that's really what I dynamically do. And Bubba taught me that. It was actually my cat who taught me that. Mm. And And she was really adamant about it because she was like, "You." Every time I came home, she was almost like, "I don't know who you are."
Yeah.
And so I was like, "I need to change this. This doesn't work for me." And then she was like, "Well, you have to be more willing to be present with me." And I thought, "Well, how do I do that
when I'm on the other side of the planet?"
Exactly. And so it is really leaving your energy there, also pulling their energy with you at all times. And in the beginning, I literally just, I had a picture of her on every device that I owned. But so when I was seeing that picture, I was not just glancing over it, but I made an effort to actually connect. And then with that connection, I was able to really make sort of that conscious choice to send energy her way, to pull her energy my way, and really have that moment of connecting and really also going like, "Hey, how are you? What are you doing?" And just taking that moment and just being present. And that really relaxed her so much about also perceiving where I was and the change that I was going through, that when I came home, she actually now was waiting for me at the doorstep rather than hiding from me. So
I love this conversation because it brings up all these questions about, whoa, you can communicate with something on the other side of the planet, but how do you do that? And it's with your being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so exciting to me about this conversation and about access, because it is all about being the infinite being that you truly be. And what better way to practice that than with your animals who are willing to be infinite beings?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like people, that's another story. You know, animals will play with you as an infinite being and show you, as you have verbalized, so many interesting ways of being that we all naturally possess and how many of us exercise and practice those abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really also an easy thing to do if you're willing to step into it. And as you know, I mean, as a facilitator, just giving people the tools, and it is actually quite easy when you start using these tools to be willing to step into more. And it is about just actually starting to practice. That's really what it is, because like you said earlier, we weren't really taught to be...
We were anti-taught.
We were anti-taught, exactly. We were told not to and shut all that stuff down rather than actually nurturing it and furthering it. So in that sense, we do all have the ability. We just have been very dynamically shutting it off. So turning it on again and allowing ourselves to actually have the ability to do all these things is really what I'm after.
And gives us so much more access to ourselves,
yeah,
too.
Totally.
It's like, how much of us do we cut off when we reject or refuse to be aware of what our animals are saying to
mm-hmm.
us, when we reject or refuse the information or energy or communication that an entity is giving to us.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't seem to realize is how much we shut off. We have to literally, in order to not be aware of anything, right, you actually have to cut off parts and pieces of you, because as a being, you are infinitely aware,
mm-hmm.
period. To not be aware of an animal, to not be aware of the communication of a spirit, to not be aware of what you perceive from the earth, to not be aware of the weird shit that you perceive in other people's heads, you know, to not be aware, you actually have to shut down large, vast parts of your infinite being.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got full wings of possibility that are just abandoned in your universe. And if we then make the choice to occupy those spaces, what do we become?
Mm-hmm.
We become the conscious animals of the planet.
Totally. And it is really kind of cool to, again, perceive Charlie's, like, just with all this conversation, really, like, letting a deep breath out in a sense of thank you, thank you, thank you, Shannon, for contributing to this immense awareness about entities and just like having this conversation today, just opening the door to so many more possibilities. I really hope everybody who has been listening has been really enjoying this as much as Charlie has, and also myself, and everybody here too is smiling. So, and I actually wanted to really just Yeah, I mean, so profoundly, thank you. I mean, you are the one that really saved me from combusting. I found you, and that was sort of my gateway to more awareness, to the ability to step into something other than the combustion of where I was headed. And so thank you for that, Shannon. I'm really, really grateful. And how do people find you? Where do they go to, like, take your amazing classes? Like, what can people do to have more of that entity conversation?
Absolutely. Well, I'm on the Access Consciousness website, Shannon O'Hara. I'm pretty easy to find there at accessconsciousness.com. And then Talk to the Entities has a website as well. And if you go there, there is a lot of fun, free stuff, and it's all the information, you know, and it's just the beginning, is, as you say, the gateway.
Yeah, cool.
I'm the gateway drug.
Thank you so, so much, Shannon, for everything. And
thank
Charlie,
you,
thanks you too.
Thank
and
you so much.
How
does it get better?
How does it get better?
Auf Wiedersehen!
Auf Wiedersehen!